Legal Tuesday with Joe Stanley, the morning mess on demand at 95X.com.
Syracuse Rock Alternative is 95X. It's the morning mess. We are Marty and Shannon, and it's time to kick off Legal Tuesday, brought to you by the Stanley Law Office. With that said, don't hesitate to text us right now. Again, like Shannon said, if you want to remain anonymous, you don't have to give your name or anything. Just give us the question. We can ask Joe. He'll simply answer the question the best that he can. And help point you in the right direction. You can also give us a call right now. The direct line to speak with Joe Stanley is 315-421-9595. You can also hit us up on Facebook, too, if you want.
Yeah, Facebook or Twitter. It's Marty and Shannon, 95X.
So he's only going to be here for the next 20 minutes or so. So don't wait. Give us a call, 315-421-9595. Or if you're listening right now, your mornings are hectic. We get that. You can always reach out to Joe at the office. Don't go alone. Contact Joe. And how can they do that, Joe?
Sure. Our website is stanleylawoffices.com. The number is 1-800-608-3333. And my email is joe@stanleylawoffices.com.
So once again, the text line 315-629-9570. I know we got a couple questions for Joe.
This is actually from another Joe. From one Joe to another, I guess. I was in a car accident, didn't have health insurance. My medical bills are huge and are all going to collection agencies. I'm getting constant calls. Can I file bankruptcy for medical bills before my personal injury case is resolved?
Well, let me say, first of all, is that your bills should have been paid for by no fault, and unless you've already used up the $50,000 in no fault coverage for medical bills. And in fact, depending on, you can buy extra coverage. That's the first question. The second question is, the answer is never do that. If you file bankruptcy, all of your assets become the assets of the trustee in bankruptcy, and you have no control over your lawsuit. They control how it's settled, how the money is dispersed, and then if there's any money left over, then you might get some. It's a situation you absolutely do not want to get into. Don't ever do that without good legal advice. And if you have a lawyer, you should be telling them about this. If any situation where you have where you're considering bankruptcy and you have assets, you must get legal advice. And this is a situation that ends up in a horror show. If you end up filing bankruptcy and don't let the trustee in bankruptcy take over your claim and then try to pursue your claim, it's void. It gets dismissed. You have nothing anymore. So there are all sorts of serious legal consequences to this. And that's a fabulous question, because I have had clients do it, not tell me, and end up getting themselves in serious trouble.
Yeah, ask first. There you go.
Joe Stanley is here. It's Legal Tuesday on the Morning Mess and 95X, brought to you by the Stanley Law Office. If you have a question for Joe, it could be any legal question at all. I mean, we get a lot of questions about problems with contracts when it comes to apartment leasing, or, you know, when are you supposed to get your security deposit back and all that stuff. So it could be that. It could be any issues. Give us a call right now and ask Joe, 315-421-9595. You have another question off the text line?
Yes, I do. Can a customer sue me personally even if I am incorporated? They say that one of their employees damaged a customer's car. They've got a detailing business. The customer's threatening to sue the corporation and the owner personally. And the owner didn't think that they could be sued personally if they were incorporated.
Well, generally speaking,
that's a good question.
That is a good question. If you are a corporation and you are doing business as the corporation, you can only be sued as the corporation. Mm-hmm. That assumes that you are operating the business legitimately as a corporation and that you follow all the rules of being a corporation. Where people lose track here is that they'll be incorporated and then, unfortunately, they don't follow the rules and they operate like that's a sole practitioner or a sole proprietorship or whatever. And then there is a legal doctrine that you can pierce the corporate veil. Fancy legal word. Meaning that the person can be sued personally because they didn't follow the rules that you have to follow to be a corporation. So the answer to that is that's the reason you incorporate, one of them, is so you don't have personal liability, but you have to play the game. You have to follow the rules, and if you don't do that, you could get sued personally. That's where you need good legal advice, and that's why when you incorporate, you need to follow the rules.
95X, do you have a question for Joe Stanley this morning?
I do.
Hey, what's your question?
My question is that I was divorced recently, probably about a year ago, and there was a personal loan that we both had in both of our names. She has since filed bankruptcy, and we are both on the loan, and I've been paying it. And I was curious if I have any legal grounds to go after her for the funds in that personal loan that I've been paying.
Well, that's actually a good question. The issue of who was responsible for that loan wasn't addressed in your divorce?
It was not. She had been saying and telling me, and this is my own stupidity, that she was going to pay for it and all this stuff. And I have all of that in writing from her, but it was not addressed in the divorce.
All right. Well, there's a lesson right there. All of those assets and all of your debts need to be talked about in divorce, because that at least can try to resolve this problem. The answer to this is, when she filed bankruptcy, were you named as a person in that bankruptcy? In other words, were you served as a potential creditor?
I was served paperwork saying that she was filing bankruptcy, but not that I was any way responsible for her assets in the bankruptcy.
Oh, no, no. What happens is, when somebody files bankruptcy and you have a potential claim, you have to be served with paperwork, because if you're not, that potential claim that you might have can't be discharged. So if she, her lawyer filed the claim with you, again, with you properly, in other words, this is how bankruptcy works. Say, you owe me $10,000, and you file bankruptcy. Your lawyer sends me something saying, you're filing bankruptcy, and here's what you have to do to file a claim against me, or all your claims will be discharged in the bankruptcy court.
And
okay, so if they did that, then all your claims against her would be discharged. If they didn't do that, your claims are still in existence. How's that?
That sounds good to me. That is all I needed to know.
All right. Good
luck to you, man. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate
all right,
it.
No problem. Don't wait. Give us a call right now. 315-421-9595. Joe Stanley is here. Legal Tuesday. Don't go it alone. You can contact Joe at the Stanley Law Office. And Joe, what's the contact information?
Sure. My email is joe@stanleylawoffices.com. The number is 1-800-608-3333, and it's stanleylawoffices.com. And, you know, these are very good questions, and those
yes.
are things that come up all the time.
Sure.
That bankruptcy issue, if you have a claim or you have assets, and the same thing about if you are filing bankruptcy and you don't tell your bankruptcy lawyer the name of all your creditors.
Sure. No, it's true. If you forget something, you're screwed.
And then you end up, you file bankruptcy, but you didn't get everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I had a friend that, you know, had to go through the whole process and forgot about one. And luckily, they're able to open up the case again, and because they caught it in time. But a lot of times, that can become a major issue.
Right, yeah.
So when
they
you're
don't
doing
forget
that,
about you. They don't forget about you.
Yeah. They're not going to forget about you. Shannon, what's your next question?
Jen in Solve says, I got a speeding ticket in Tennessee during a road trip, and I'm never going back there again. Do I have to pay it?
I don't mean to laugh.
Well,
sorry.
The answer to that is
Jen.
The answer to that is you never have to. The more prudent question is,
like, can they like take away her license
well,
or something?
The more thing you would want to worry about is, will they report it to the? A lot of them have a uniform reporting system, and will it get to your insurance company? And will that be then charged against you? My advice is what I tell and what I would do, because I'm not quite sure how these reporting things work and every state is different, that you're better off just sending them the money and paying it. And that's just so it doesn't show up on your record. It's not a conviction on your New York license, and it's not it probably will never be reported to your insurance company, so you'll never have anything against you. If they try to, in other words, if you don't show up, they could go through the process of convicting you and trying to charge you or trying to have it put on your license in New York. And I don't know that it's worth it. I don't know that they would do that because it's a big hassle.
Now, what about like the traffic ticket? Because would there be a warrant for you or anything?
Well, see, speeding ticket is a little different. But
okay.
Yeah, they what happens if you don't show up, they convict you. And depending on what the state is and what you've been charged with. I don't know what you were charged with, but I presume it's like here, and so you're convicted, you have a 5-point violation because you were going 85 and a 55 or whatever it is. The next question is, once you have that conviction and you're in violation because you haven't paid the fine, you haven't done anything, what will they do with it? Will they come after you by trying to,
that's why I wonder if your license in the state that you live in could be suspended.
They can. And a lot of these states now have a cooperative where they will allow these kind of judgments to be transferred. And so they can come after you to collect. It's not that they're interested in, all they want is the money.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm going to prove that I listened to Joe Stanley and I've learned a lot by doing this. Because when you have legal issues like that, it's better to take care of it and just ignore it, because they're not going to go away, right? You got to handle it in one way or another.
It might go away, but it also 5 years from now might end up being a big problem.
At least there's one Joe you listen to, right?
I always listen to Joe D, too. Joe Stanley is more knowledgeable.
Okay,
how
about this one? Scott from Oswego, his landlord renovated the kitchen. He says, I had no access to it for 11 days. It was only supposed to take 4. I had to eat out that whole time, which I didn't budget for. Can I ask the landlord to reimburse me or compensate me with rent?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, no, that's a good question. You should. You say, listen, I was, that's what I'm paying rent for. He should reduce the rent. Of one, what's 10 out of 30 days. So that's a third of his rent should be reduced, or maybe 25%.
Or give him a gift certificate for dinner.
The third of the rent is probably less than what he ate out. Well, again, it depends on what his, where he
were
went.
Were you dollar menuing it, or were you living high?
Yeah, well, so that, but obviously, if the landlord is a good guy and understands the situation, he should be cooperative. Then that is one of those things, though. If he isn't, you could make a claim in small claims court because you were deprived of the use of your premises for a period of time that had value. It's one of those things that should always be worked out, but sometimes people don't want to work things out.
All right, one more question for you, Joe. This has to do with homeowners insurance. The person's claiming that they have mandatory flood insurance on their homeowners insurance. The problem is that they don't live anywhere near a river. Now, there's a river in the village that they live in, but it's not near their house, so they're trying to fight it. Legally, what can they do, and how can they make them pay flood insurance on a house where there's no... It's in Beeville. I mean, I was...
Don't you have to get the village to change the flood zoning area?
Well, and they don't live in... they do, but they don't live near the river. It's like far enough away from their house.
Well, first of all, flood insurance is not something that you buy. It doesn't come from your regular homeowner's insurance. It's a separate policy you buy. It's a federally run program. And your mortgage company, makes you buy flood insurance if you're on a federally designated zone of a certain risk. And that's it. Now, your recourse is the bank doesn't care if you live on top of Mount Everest if you're in one of those zones, because they want to be protected because they don't want to lose their investment in a flood. If you think you're zoned in properly, that's up to the federal government. Remember, there was a whole big deal here in the city of Syracuse where all these people were reclassified as flood risk and had to buy flood insurance, and they didn't think they were, and there was a bunch of negotiations about adjusting the map. But unless the feds change the map, you are out of luck, and flood insurance is expensive.
Yeah,
it's that was very expensive, and it doesn't pay like you would see on the ads. It doesn't pay all your. There's a huge deductible.
Insurance companies are a scam. Sorry. Anyway, it's Joe Stanley. This is Legal Tuesday on 95X in the Morning Mess, and great questions today. We thank all the listeners for the great questions. It kept you busy today, Joe.
No, and actually, these are things that I always talk about and think about, and it's great to remind everybody, because those are simple things that you can get yourself in really big trouble.
So Joe Stanley is here. Don't go it alone. Contact Joe, because I know a lot of people don't want to put their, they don't want to air their personal business, and that's when you can contact Joe. So one more time, Joe, how can people reach you at the Stanley Law Office?
Sure. My number is 1-800-608-3333. email is joe@stanleylawoffices.com, and it's stanleylawoffices.com.
And that's why the sexiest career is a lawyer. See that?
We were thinking okay. I was talking about, maybe I can try to take Billy Bob Thornton's role in Goliath for those out there who've seen it. I'm way too tall to be him.
And Joe Stanley.
I don't smoke, so I can't really.
Joe Stanley's trying to turn us on to the Goliath.
Hey.
Joe, Shannon paid attention to you.
I saw that when I came in. Very good.
We did the shopping last night, and I'm like, I need a snack for work. I was going to grab goldfish, and my husband's like, you better get Cheez-Its, and they better be real.
Her husband's like, Joe Stanley's coming in tomorrow. You better buy Cheez-Its.
Oh, of course, Shannon. No, those goldfish are okay, but they're not
you
like Cheez-Its. Yeah, I'll even eat I can eat the whole box.
Now, if you offered the other ones to Joe Stanley, he wouldn't take you up on it.
No, he would have been insulted.
We've got a guy who's been patiently waiting on hold. He wants to do this off there. He's got an update. And people call back with updates, too. So
it's good to hear.
We'll get his update. Joe, thank you very much. We'll do it again next week. It's the Morning Mass on 95X.
Thanks, guys.